There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Never been on this side of an ups and downs before. It's quite exciting, isn't it? Let's up those downs. Started off with Ray versus The Miz on the kickoff show, and it was kind of thrown together, and it was The Miz in a kickoff match. I mean, what more can you say? Dominic tried to get involved. He got chucked out. Ray rolled up The Miz. He won. Cool. But then we got into the main show itself, and we kicked off big with Roman Reigns versus Goldberg in a match that they desperately wanted for WrestleMania a few years ago but couldn't pull together. But here it was in all its grandeur. And it wasn't very grandeur-y. He started off with a big lockup, and then he kind of rolled to the outside, and then it was just really, really slow. There was none of the sort of Goldberg fire that you might expect from something like this. There was no sort of big jackhammers or anything like that. Goldberg hit a spear on Roman Reigns, but he kicked out. Roman Reigns hit him with a Superman punch, but Goldberg kicked out. Goldberg was bleeding from the shoulder for some reason when he came out, so Hamper's idea was that he just kind of shoulder barged into a door, probably. He was also bleeding from his head at one point, just in a tiny spot. I don't know how this man bleeds so much. But the Amazingly went like 6 minutes, and then when you look back on it, you really can't think of how they filled that time, because it was just a bit slow. Roman Reigns just decided to choke Goldberg out in the end, probably the safest bet, to be honest. And that was it. Roman Reigns won, and he's off to WrestleMania. I mean, it wasn't great. I'm probably gonna give it a down. And yeah, that's kind of all I have to say about that, because then we moved on to the first of two Elimination Chamber matches of the evening, and this one was the women. It was Liv Morgan taking on Nikki Ash, taking on Doudrop, taking on Rhea Ripley, taking on Alexa Bliss, taking on Bianca Belair, and this was okay. It wasn't the best thing I've ever seen, but it definitely wasn't the worst. Liv Morgan and Nikki Ash kicked it off, but things didn't really get interesting until Doudrop and Rhea Ripley were out there. There was a great bit where Liv Morgan just kind of pushed Doudrop off the top turnbuckle, right face first into a pod, and it was absolutely hilarious. But the first person out of there was Nikki Ash. She was taken out by Rhea Ripley with the Riptide, and it goddamn serves her right for taking out Molly Holly at the Royal Rumble. I will never forgive you, Nikki Ash, and you deserve going out first. Next to be taken out was Doudrop, who got this like this sunset flip powerbomb thing from Liv Morgan, slammed her down in the middle of the ring for the 1-2-3. And then third out was Liv Morgan herself, who was taken out with a Twisted Bliss by Alexa Bliss. Before this, though, there was a really great spot. First off, Bianca Belair was showing off her strength throughout this. She had the whole press slam thing with one arm and then chucked her back into the ring. But there was a great bit with Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair where they were kind of showing off each other's strength, and they had two people up in the vertical suplex, and they were both kind of doing the sort of one-handed vertical suplex thing. But Rhea Ripley had Alexa Bliss up in the air, and then Alexa Bliss's skirt just kind of fell down right in front of Rhea Ripley's face, and she was just trying to, like, pull up the skirt and peer out while she was still doing this one-handed suplex. It was absolutely fantastic. It made me laugh, and it's also incredibly impressive. But Bianca Belair was the star of the show at the end. She took out Rhea Ripley with a KOD, and then it was her and Alexa Bliss, who's fixed now, according to the therapist on Raw. She's definitely not fixed, though. But yeah, they were the last two in there, and they were the two that were all kind of wondering which one of these would go on and win the Elimination Chamber and go on to WrestleMania. But it was, of course, Bianca Belair. She eventually took out Alexa Bliss with a KOD, and this whole thing only lasted about 15 minutes. They were really not messing about getting people out of these pods and getting these matches going. This entire pay-per-view was only 2 hours and 50 minutes long. It was really, really short stuff. But yeah, there's not a huge amount to talk about, but it wasn't a terrible match. It was good stuff. Bianca Belair goes on to WrestleMania to face the winner of Becky Lynch versus Lita, which we will get to later on. And I'm gonna give it an up. Why not? Next up, it was one of the more tone-deaf things WWE have done in their time, having a wrestler wrestle with only one arm in Saudi Arabia. They really don't think about these things, do they? But it was, of course, Naomi and Ronda Rousey taking on Charlotte and Sonya Deville. Ronda Rousey came out there in like a karate gi kind of thing, which was a really good way of getting around the whole women need to cover up everything in Saudi Arabia thing. But she did, of course, have her arm tied kind of at her side, not really behind her back. But this was just a really odd way of using Ronda Rousey in your first match back after re-signing. She had a good showing in the early goes, but she did still take most of the heat from the match, and Naomi eventually got the hot tag and ran a bit wild before then re-hot tagging Ronda Rousey after about a minute or something while she was still kind of selling her injuries from earlier on. And it was just a really odd showcase for what should be one of your absolute biggest stars going into WrestleMania. They just took away all of the kind of shine from her like offense, like all of that kind of mixed martial arts, sort of pure wrestling based things. It was like she had some really good judo throws and things with the one arm and stuff is still kind of impressive, but it's just, it's not what you want from Ronda Rousey. Still, she was the one to get the win at the end though. She had Sonya Deville down on the floor and she was threatening to put the Piper's Pit in, and when Charlotte Flair was just like, oh no, I don't want anything to do with this, and kind of wandered off and just left Sonya Deville in the middle of the ring to take the move and obviously lose. And this does two very strange things. One, like I said, it's not a big showcase for Ronda Rousey leading into WrestleMania, what should have been one of the biggest matches on WrestleMania, her versus Charlotte Flair. She should be looking like an absolute $1 million right now, but instead they're just showcasing her wrestling with one arm being a little bit off. Two, it takes away any kind of possibility of doing a Ronda Rousey versus Sonya Deville match down the line, because why would anyone ever care about this ever again? She beat her so easily that she beat her with one arm in the middle of the ring, nice and easy. And three, there's a third thing that I hadn't thought about before, but there is a third thing. Naomi versus Sonya Deville, it's also kind of done now, because it was a very much a second fiddle storyline to the bigger Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte thing. And like, as far as like Naomi got some good offense in with Sonya Deville and stuff like that, it just felt like it just was not important whatsoever. They also had a really weird bit at the end where Sonya Deville kind of went out of the ring after she'd tapped out and went to Charlotte and was fine with everything that Charlotte had just done. Just left her in the middle of the ring to die, pretty much, to Ronda Rousey. She was fine with it. She didn't complain whatsoever. So this was all a little bit weird. The match itself was probably fine, but in terms of just what you want on a road to WrestleMania and how you build into a huge match at WrestleMania with Charlotte versus Ronda Rousey, I'm gonna give this a down, sorry. Next it was Madcap Moss versus Drew McIntyre, and I've just gotta get one thing out of the way before we go on with this, and it's Drew McIntyre and your goddamn sword. This is Chekhov's gun, WWE, this is storytelling 101. If you introduce something like this, like a goddamn sword, you better be willing to pay it off at some point. But you're not, are you? You are not gonna get to WrestleMania and Drew McIntyre is gonna stab Baron Corbin in the face, are we? We're not gonna get that. So why do we have a goddamn sword and why does he keep on threatening to use it? It's never gonna pay off. Get rid of it. Other than that though, the match was pretty much what you're gonna expect from these guys. It was falls count anywhere, although the fall didn't count anywhere, it just counted in the ring, so that was a little bit pointless. Baron Corbin was on the outside selling from Madcap Moss. Drew McIntyre was just chucking him around all over the place. There was a great bit where Drew McIntyre had Madcap Moss up in like a reverse Alabama slammer where he kind of pulled him down and he went face first. But I don't know what Madcap Moss was doing to try and sell it, but he kind of spiked himself head first and it looked absolutely nasty. Don't quite know what was going on there. But obviously Baron Corbin got involved, and then they both threw Drew McIntyre through the barricade on the outside, but then he took them all out, and then he got them back in the ring, and then he got the sword out, he took a wild swing at Baron Corbin, who ducked, and it missed, and then he threatened to stab Madcap Moss, which he's never gonna do, just get rid of the goddamn sword, but then instead of stabbing him, he ran at him with the sword, still full force, but instead hit him with the claymore, took him down, 1, 2, 3, that was that. I mean, it's fine, I guess. There's nothing terribly wrong with it. Drew McIntyre needs something way better than this leading into WrestleMania. He definitely deserves it, and you need to get rid of that goddamn sword. But, I mean, I can't complain too much. I guess I'll give it an up in the spirit of Simon Miller positivity. Yeah?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And then we got to Becky Lynch versus Lita, what is a little bit of a dream match situation going on, and I will say this is probably the best match on the card. They had a really good sort of back and forth action, but their one big thing here was to build to one big near fall where you just think Lita, she just might do it. She just might do it, might she? It was a little bit the old wrestling tennis, as Simon Miller likes to say, as Becky Lynch was doing her best to sell for Lita and put over all of her stuff, but then they built and they built and they built, and then they got to a manhandle slam spot where Becky slammed her down in the ring, but she was just a little bit too close to the ropes, and Lita managed to get her foot on the ropes to break the fall. But then they built again, and Lita eventually, she hit the twist of fate right there, and then she went up to the top, and everyone thought, oh my god, she could actually do this, and she goes for the moonsault, she flies backwards, out of the camera view, and Kevin Dunn didn't cut properly because for some reason he's just terrible these days. But she hit the moonsault, and then she got the one, she got the two, but then Becky Lynch kicked out for a really close near fall. But after that, it was only going to go one way. Becky Lynch hit the manhandle slam again. She got the 1, 2, 3 in the middle of the ring. She did a nice little thank you or something to Becky Lynch afterwards, and off she went. And then after the match, Lita, she got her music played, and she got to cheer along with the audience. It was just a really nice little moment for Lita. A really fun match between these two. Lita still had it. Becky Lynch sold her ass off for her, and she really tried. This was really good fun, and it does mean, of course, that we're going to get Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair at WrestleMania, and we got the graphic afterwards, so that is confirmed. But I'm definitely going to give this one an up, and it was definitely the best match of the night. And then it was finally time for the match that's had the best build going into this event. It's the Usos versus the Viking Raiders. Except it wasn't the best build, was it? It's been really terrible, and it wasn't even a match, was it? Because Usos just kind of attacked the Viking Raiders before the bell rang during their entrance, and then just wandered off. And that was pretty much it. I mean, I'm torn here, because I kind of want to give it an up, because it kept this show really short, and we get to go home a little bit earlier. But at the same time, if you don't do something with the Viking Raiders soon, WWE, we had them back in WCW. If you want to know how good these guys are, go watch some of those matches. They are absolutely fantastic as a tag team. The Usos are absolutely fantastic as a tag team. If you give these guys 15 minutes on a show and just let them do their thing, it will be an absolutely fantastic match. But what have you given the Viking Raiders since they've been on the main roster? absolutely nothing apart from being in bins with some kind of monster and eating big chicken legs and things. Absolutely nothing. You really need to do something with the Viking Raiders, WWE. I know you don't like tag teams, but they are really bloody good. Do something with them. Do something with them versus the Usos. It will be fantastic. This was not it. Hopefully it leads to something bigger at WrestleMania, but this is a big fat down. And then it was time already for the main event for the WWE Championship. It was, of course, Bobby Lashley taking on Austin Theory, taking on Seth Rollins, taking on AJ, taking on Riddle, taking on Brock Lesnar inside the Elimination Chamber.
Or the Filmination Chamber.
Gotta talk about Brock Lesnar's entrance before we actually get into the match, because it was absolutely hilarious. Brock Lesnar is on great form at the minute. I love this version of him. He does not care anymore. He came in, he just sort of breathed on Bobby Lashley's glass and drew a little smiley face on it. He just completely no-sold Riddle and just turned his back to him as he walked past his pod. And then he did this weird little, like, peck dance as he went past AJ Styles before finally getting inside his pod. I love him. He's absolutely fantastic. Brock Lesnar, not giving an F, is one of the most fun things on TV. But then we get into the match itself, and Austin Theory versus Seth Rollins kicked it off, and you'd think this would be a fun way to sort of elevate Austin Theory a bit, getting some time in the main event picture against a really solid hand like Seth Rollins, but they didn't do a lot until Seth Rollins got Austin Theory up in a buckle bomb, and he didn't throw him into the buckle, he threw him into Bobby Lashley's pod. But he didn't throw him into the pod, he threw him straight through the pod. He smashed through the plexiglass, he smashed into Bobby Lashley himself. Bobby Lashley went down, and then there was this really weird moment where it was like, it almost felt like it wasn't supposed to happen, but it obviously was supposed to happen. And then some sort of medical people came into the ring, and Adam Pearce was there and a few other people. And they eventually picked up Bobby Lashley and walked him out of the ring and out of the match and out of the pay-per-view. And then later on, Michael Cole told him he was under concussion protocol, and so he couldn't come back into the match. So that left a big question mark over what was going to happen. Like, was he going to be replaced? Michael Cole told us on commentary that it means there's going to be a new WWE champion no matter what happens, so he was definitely going to lose the belt. But what is he going to be replaced? Was there just going to be absolutely nobody? I think some of the rumors going around with a certain Cody Rhodes may have played into people's feelings about, like, oh, well, this could have gone so much better or been a lot more interesting. There was also rumors of, like, twists and turns going into Elimination Chamber, and I think people thought there was going to be something much bigger than what actually happened. Instead, Riddle came out, and then AJ came out, and then the lights did the bloop, 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 bloop thing, and it landed on Bobby Lashley's pod, where he was supposed to come out, and then everyone looked a little bit confused, and nobody came out. And Brock Lesnar was really annoyed at this, thinking, oh, you're just wasting my time now, I get paid by the minute. He smashed through his plexiglass, and he entered himself into the match. And that was the beginning of the end, because Brock Lesnar just ran through everyone. He picked up whoever was closest to him, he F5'd him, and he pinned him. And then he picked up the next person, he F5'd them, and then he pinned him. And then he picked up the next person, and he F5'd them, and then he pinned him. And then all that was left was Brock Lesnar and Austin Theory. And to Austin Theory's credit, he gave it a go. He gave it a good go. He tried to fight back with Brock Lesnar. He got a good low blow in there, which actually floored Brock Lesnar for a second. Then he tried to run up the Elimination Chamber cage. But as he was climbing up to the cage, Brock Lesnar hurtled up the cage. He went up there as fast as he possibly could. There was one bit where his leg just fell straight through the chains, and it felt like he was gonna not quite make it up there. But he got there, and then he got on top of the pod, and he grabbed Austin Theory, and he picked him up. And we're all thinking, oh, he's gonna F5 him into the ring. Nah, he just F5'd him onto the outside of the Elimination Chamber. And that was pretty much it. Brock Lesnar got down, he pinned Austin Theory, he pretended to take some selfies with him, and Brock Lesnar is your new WWE champion. We got the big graphic for Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. It's going to be champion versus champion. They didn't say title versus title, it said champion versus champion, so I don't know if something's going to happen with that down the line. But yeah, Brock Lesnar just won, kind of just like that. So I guess this is their way of protecting Bobby Lashley, and he can still have a claim that he's never been beaten by Brock Lesnar, and he can have the claim, like a legitimate claim to the WWE title at some point down the line, and it's definitely something they can go back to post-WrestleMania, but it also just felt a little off, and it definitely set our chat off, and people did not seem too happy about it. In terms of me though, I love this version of Brock Lesnar. He absolutely ran through the people. He was having a great time while he was doing it. He hurled Austin Theory off the top of a pod with an F5. I mean, what more do you want? Like, you've got him versus Bobby Lashley to go back to at some point. We were obviously gonna get Brock versus Roman at WrestleMania, so we had to get there somewhere. So yeah, I mean, it was fun for what it was. I'm gonna give it an up. So yeah, that's that. Like, in terms of WWE shows, it definitely wasn't the worst, and it sure as hell wasn't the best, but I mean, I can't not give it an up. It was absolutely fine. It's built to WrestleMania, and that's the kind of point of this entire show, was to just build to our WrestleMania matches. We're gonna have Bianca Belair versus Becky Lynch. We're obviously gonna have Charlotte versus Ronda Rousey. We've got Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. There's a lot coming out of this that's just leading to better things in the future, and hopefully the stories they can tell on Raw and SmackDown to get there will just improve on this and just keep the ball rolling through to WrestleMania. So yeah, definitely wasn't the best show, definitely wasn't the worst show. It was fine.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.